Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. We're efforting to try to find guests for you today. We've got a number of calls out, so we'll let you know what's up with that. But I want to talk about the evolution of where we were from yesterday. First of all, I want to congratulate the audience. I want to congratulate the team here at the radio station. I want to congratulate our guests for providing the insight that was necessary yesterday. I think today we will probably continue to do some of what we did yesterday, mostly what we did yesterday, but we will have some sports because there is some news that we'll get to. So make sure you stick around for that. But I wanted to shout out at the top here, the entire team here at the radio station for just kind of really being, I think, very understanding and empathetic towards the black community right now, particularly, and just understanding is that we need to come together and we need to unify and we need to empathize and we need to understand and we need to listen to each other. And I just wanted to make sure we vocalize that here at the top of the show. And I also think it's great that we're getting a lot of people who are expressing themselves, some who have more experience with this than others. For example, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the captain of your Los Angeles Lakers, you know, multiple-time champion, six-time MVP. And the one thing that doesn't get discussed enough when talking about his legacy, now we did it not that long ago, to be honest with you, was his legacy off the court. And yesterday, he was on with Scott Van Pelt. He did a sit-down interview with Scott Van Pelt. And in that interview, he talked about a number of different things that are going on in this world. And again, this was someone who fought during the Civil Rights era. This was someone who put his own career on the line in a lot of ways, much like Jim Brown. And when he came on with Scott Van Pelt, Scott just asked him, much like I asked Herm Edwards yesterday, who was 14 during the Civil Rights era, about his state of mind. And here's what Kareem said.
I feel like I'm caught between hope and history. The hope is that the United States will live up to its ideals and overcome its history of very poor racial attitudes that end up in violence against black Americans. I hope that we will deal with the better aspects of who we are as Americans. But history is, makes it very tough to have a positive outcome, it seems. We just can't seem to get past a certain point. And that is very troubling.
Yeah, and he's right. And this is why, you know, Key ended the show just like that a second ago, talking about, hey, man, it's not about when the shops get rebuilt and everything, you know, that we forget about this stuff. This needs to be a constant. Okay? There needs to be a constant reminder. And if it makes you uncomfortable, so be it. All right? Uncomfortable allows you to grow. I'll equate it to sports. I remember plenty of times growing up when I was learning to play baseball. Let's use that as an example. You know what my dad would do with me? He'd throw me high and tight. Because he said, look, if you're going to be afraid of the ball, you're never going to be good at baseball. And that made me uncomfortable. But you know what? I adjusted. And that's the same analogy here. I understand that some of you out there are made uncomfortable by this. But just like a high and tight pitch, you got to adjust because life is going to move on and we need to move on together. Kareem was also asked because of the makeup of these protests, which is something that we discussed a ton yesterday. And I felt proud. I felt very proud of. If there's more hope because more people are noticing the problem.
Oh, absolutely. Just the fact that people are acknowledging what has been going on for 400 years. Black lives have not been valued. We got to change that. Equal treatment under the law will work if certain police institutions have to change their attitude and their culture and deal with people in a way that de-escalates tension and the things that cause violent incidents. We have to learn how to de-escalate these situations and enforce the law the way it should be enforced.
100%. And it is encouraging. And hopefully that changes history, because historically it hasn't been good. So the question is now, much like Kareem, Jim Brown, amongst many others in their era, what are the roles of athletes right now during these protests and these riots?
Athletes have been a beacon for young people in the black community. And to see athletes like Jalen responding in this way is really wonderful. And I'm so happy to see another generation of athletes understand what has to be done and what has to be said. Here's an example that people should try on. There's been a lot of talk about how horrible the rioting and looting is. That is no way to demonstrate. But people should think about the fact that Colin Kaepernick tried to demonstrate peacefully. What did he get? He got ostracized. He lost his job. He was blackballed. That was a peaceful protest about an issue that is very real. No one could acknowledge that. We got to get to the point where we take these people seriously and acknowledge the wrongs that they are trying to identify and right them. That's the way that we make progress.
Kareem nailed it. On both fronts. On Jalen. And if you haven't gotten a chance, go to Jalen's Twitter and just see what he said about this at the beginning. And talking about, you know, I'll summarize it for you, that he wished that America would embrace black people like they embrace black culture. And he's right. It's right. 100% right. And I think that the makeup of these protests shows that there's certainly more of that, which is encouraging. And to his point on Kaepernick, I want to get to that in a second. I want to hold off on that for a second, because I got a whole lot of things to say about Colin Kaepernick today. All right? But he mentioned the role of athletes, and it's been notable, whether it's Jalen Rose, Steven Jackson, you know, Keyshawn here on the station, right? There's a number of athletes across the board that have taken umbrage with this. I saw Magic yesterday on TV, right? LeBron. I think that there are a number of athletes that are taking the right tact. I saw J.J. Watt do it. And I think it's important that white athletes do it. It's why yesterday when we had David Fizdale on to talk about the NBA's Coaches Commission on racial justice and reform, it was important that Greg Popovich, who by the way, we'll get to in a second too, because boy, did he have some words yesterday that were powerful. And Stan Van Gundy, along with black coaches like Doc Rivers, Lloyd Pierce, David Fizdale. But I thought Stan Van Gundy yesterday, he was on the Dan Le Batard show, and he was on First Take this morning too, nailed this part, which is, for as much as athletes are taking upon a role, the owners, while releasing statements, haven't all necessarily taken, I think, their rightful place in this discussion. Here's what Stan said.
I do find it interesting that with all the people speaking out, that the people who can really affect change, our owners, have been notably silent. I mean, you know, we've heard from Mark Cuban and we heard from Michael Jordan, and other than that, it's been silence. I mean, if these people think about it, if the owners in their cities, I don't care, I'm not singling anybody out, take any owner in any city, went to a mayor or a police chief and said, hey, we need these policies to change. Now, we can either change them with you, or I can put $25 million into the campaign of your opponent, and we'll find somebody to change them.
He's absolutely right. This is what we talked about yesterday, reform. Reform is the most important thing now. And he's right. And again, I'm not trying to single anybody out, but if you own a baseball team, if you own a basketball team, if you own a hockey team, you got a lot of money. You got a lot of influence. That's power. Utilize the power. Fight with your power. You've got reach that the rest of us don't. I've got a platform. I can sit here and talk about it all day. And I think it helps. But I don't have $25 million to put in someone's campaign to allow real change, to allow real reform. Because we could do this as citizens, but that's not going to happen overnight. And whether we want to sit here and talk about how politics, there's too much money involved and whatnot, we can have that discussion. But the reality is, that's life and that's reality. So let's utilize that for the good and the betterment of the community. How about for the betterment of the people that you employ? And he's right. Outside of Mark Cuban and Michael Jordan, there have been statements. But a lot of those statements have come across fairly down the middle. Maybe even slightly empty. And if we want to invoke change, it needs to start with the people who have the power. The people who have the power, particularly in sports, are the owners. Even more so than the commissioners. The commissioners work for them. So it would be great if you own a football team or a baseball team or a basketball team or a hockey team. If you utilize that influence, if you utilized that power, if you utilize those finances to put pressure on the public officials locally, because that's where the changes need to start. It's why if you go on my Twitter page yesterday, I put out a link on how to register to vote. It's a government issued website that allows you to then portal off to your particular state. Because I know there are people listening online that may not live in California. But that's how change happens. But we need your help. We need the billionaires' help. We need local government's help. We need law enforcement's help. Stop letting other people dictate the narrative about yourself. And all three of those groups should listen to that and heed that advice. Don't let people who don't have your views dictate the narrative about you. It's not that hard. I sure as hell wouldn't let anybody speak up for me. I mentioned we will do sports today. Speaking of which, and speaking of owners, we've got an issue still between owners and ballplayers in Major League Baseball. And here's what I would tell you. If you ask me, it's going to get resolved. All this tough talk about non-starter, drawing a line. These things are going to get negotiated. Here's what's happening in Major League Baseball. I'm just going to explain it in the most succinct way possible. The owners baited the players into a money conversation because they knew the country had 40 million people unemployed. The players fell for it. Players eventually stood up and fought for themselves and actually lobbied over a proposal that made sense. The players want half a season salary, and they were willing to play 114 games or whatever it was for that salary. So they were willing to give more to get half their salary. And here come the owners right back and say, no, 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 we'll give you your prorated portion, but we only want to play 50 games. So we'll give you 31% of your salary, which is the full salary for 50 games. They're going to meet somewhere in the middle, folks. It's going to get resolved. We're going to get sports back. We're going to get baseball back. But I hope that when that platform comes back, that they utilize the platform for some of the stuff that's going on that's more important than them bickering about finances. That's going to happen, though. They're going to be right. Everything's going to be okay in that regard when it comes to sports. But coming up next, I'm going to open it up to you and your thoughts on what Stan Van Gundy and I had to say about billionaires, corporation owners, Fortune 500 companies, billionaire sports owners. Let's talk about it. Plus, I mentioned Colin Kaepernick a powerful NFL executive says, now's the time. I'll tell you what that's all about in just a second. Stick around. We're back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bergman, we were just talking about Major League Baseball, and my opinion is it'll get done because now they're starting to haggle. But you sent me something just a second ago. What did you just send me that the players agreed to?
So the players have agreed to a realignment. So there's going to be three divisions of 10 teams each. So the East play the East, the two NL and AL East, NL and AL Central, and the NL and AL West will play each other. And they'll only play their nine divisional opponents during the regular season to cut down on travel.
So basically, it's what we talked about a month ago. Mega, mega, mega divisions.
Yes, it's mega divisions. And also that means that it's agreed to. The players have agreed to that.
Okay, well, there you go. So, I mean, I still don't love the players, this notion that the players didn't want to play in a bubble and that they're going to have to play in home parks. And I get that they're going to regionalize it and make it a little easier and less taxing on travel. But, man, here's the thing. Like, this pandemic isn't over. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not done. You know, like, I know that people think maybe it's halftime, but it's not. That's going to be an issue. Hopefully, it doesn't become an issue moving forward because of the travel and all the things that have to be involved, and hopefully just taking precautions and masks and things of that nature help. But I'm a little worried about that part of it is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you because, I mean, look at it, just the West, because the Dodgers are in the West. I mean, they still have to go to Colorado and Texas and Washington, and they're going all around the country still. They're not just in Arizona. Right. They're still having to fly to all these places. It's still a lot of travel.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that myself, but we'll see how that works itself out. All right, so real quick, Joe Lockhart is the former NFL executive vice president. And he has said, quote, now is the time to sign Kaepernick. And here's the thing. The NFL, I didn't get a chance to get to this yesterday because I was just so incensed about so many other things that I just forgot. But the NFL put out a statement over the weekend that was basically talking about Colin Kaepernick and their belief in the right for peaceful protest, and they were doing it without mentioning him. And I just thought it was so stupid that I couldn't help but laugh. So I quote tweeted it and said, I'll take irony for 500, Alex, as if I was playing Jeopardy. Because it's just like, really? Like, this is the move? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is your position now? Where was this position a couple of years ago? You know, that's the stuff that it's mind-boggling to me. But there are teams. Look, here's the problem with Kaepernick right now. And I do think he should be on a roster. I think he should have been on a roster the whole damn time. Like, you can't tell me that there are 90 better quarterbacks than him. Like, come on, that seems ridiculous. But you've got other guys. Like, Cam Newton doesn't have a home right now. And he's an MVP who just played. I know he was hurt most of last year, but who played more recently. So he needs to find a home. But I think both need to find a home. It's easy to say it now in retrospect. Joe Lockhart, where were you 3 years ago? Like, come on. Like, Bergman, there's no way that again, I get it. And I'm glad that Joe Lockhart said it, but thanks, Captain Hindsight, is just my initial response to him.
It was pretty much one of the most ridiculous tweets that they talk about a tweet being ratioed. I mean, that was just insanity. if you looked at all of the replies, they're all just like all about Kaepernick, just Kaepernick, Kaepernick, Kaepernick. It doesn't make sense that they would even. I mean, I get why they want to come out with it, and this is what a lot of teams and like MLB and NFL are all coming out and saying things like this. But it's where it just kind of goes over most people's heads because it's just the opposite of what they've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess better late than never, right? Is the way. Is
but do
the
they believe it?
I don't know, right? Like, that's the thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know, man. Like, remember last year there was the workout that he had and he didn't want to do it their way because they made him sign this ridiculous release, right? That was just like that they didn't make anyone else sign ever. You know, and with the NFL, it has come across when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, like, it's come across twofold. It's come across like they had succumbed to pressure from the White House, and also that they just wanted to create some sort of dog and pony show by creating this opportunity for him that really wasn't a real opportunity. And now I think they realize, because let's face it, the overwhelming majority of their constituency is black, that now more than ever, it's like, ooh, yeah, we probably screwed that one up. And yes, so I don't know. Like, I don't know if I should be better late than never. I don't know if I should be like, really now? Like, it is a very conflicting thing. And I'm a person who's in the opinion business who has pretty strong opinions on things. But occasionally, even I can be conflicted about something like this. And this is one of them. Like, Laura, I would imagine that there's some conflict even in you, like, thinking about, like, okay, better late than never, but also, like, really, bro? Now? Like, 3 years later?
Yeah. The word I was looking for was opportunistic.
That's fair, too. Yeah, that is a fair way to describe it, too.
Yeah. I just think it's, at this point, it was something that everybody knew. You didn't need to say it. And, yeah, I just felt like he's taking advantage of the opportunity of the time right now. And Greg said it perfectly, which, again, I never agree with Greg. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and look, Joe Lockhart doesn't work for the NFL anymore. So these are separate instances. He didn't write the tweet. But my thing is, where was he 3 years ago on that? So we can open it up at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also, just kind of your thoughts on what we did in the initial segment about Kareem's conversation with Scott Van Pelt yesterday, Stan Van Gundy's thoughts on calling out ownership in sports, that outside of Mark Cuban and Michael Jordan, there's been a lot of either very bland, obvious statements, right? Or there have been statements where there's just not a lot of bite to them. And, you know, look, speaking of that, we'll get to Tiger Woods later too, because I think that he's got an interesting dilemma on his hands as well. And Michael Collins, who covers golf for us at ESPN, he's going to join us at 10:40 to talk about that. But, I mean, look, I would say this. I guess if we're doing this on a sliding scale with ownership in different sports, it's better than taking the tact of the Knicks. But here's what I would say to you. Never go full Knicks, okay? Never go full Knicks, okay? Because whatever the Knicks do is the wrong thing. That's the case, all right? It's the wrong thing. It's the Pablo Torre yesterday got a leaked memo from the Knicks that James Dolan is basically telling people why they haven't spoken out publicly on this stuff, you know, even though they certainly believe in all this stuff. Well, if you believe in it, say it with your chest, man. You know what I mean? Like, what's so people within the Knicks construct, and not just players, people within the Madison Square Garden construct, and again, not just the players on the Knicks, are pissed off at James Dolan. So yes, if we're doing the sliding scale, would I prefer that a team just send out a statement that seems fairly obvious? Sure. I'd rather that than the non-statement that James Dolan did and then get the leaked memo. Like, yeah, that Bergman, I would say that's definitely the worst of the situations. Sure.
Right, yeah. The Knicks, that's what my question was basically is, you know, do you want to be the NFL where you say something but are completely hypocritical, or do you want to be the Knicks and say absolutely nothing because you feel you can't speak on it? I mean, which is the worst one of the two, I guess. At least,
well,
the NFL
I would say the
non-statement.
I would say the non-statement is worse. Right. As much as I'd be critical of the NFL, again, it's the whole this discussion of better late than never versus really, you know. And I right now I think that we just got to take wins. Okay, So for as much as I am calling out the billionaire owners in sports to act because someone has to, you know what I'm saying? I'm also at least a little thankful that there is some show of understanding, right? Some semblance of acknowledgement. But those people need to be employed to do more. Because the people who have the power need to be employed to do more. But yeah, like it is mind-boggling to me. It's just wild. But yeah, if we're doing the sliding scale, yeah, don't be the Knicks, bro. Like, don't be the Knicks. But do more than just what you've done, too. Like, it can be both of these things. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, we live in this world that it's binary. And it doesn't... Life is not binary. Yes, there are specific choices that one makes that then leads to action and repercussion. But there are multiple choices, right? Life is full of multiple choices. And you can take different paths. And maybe in some cases, the path of least resistance is understandable. But when it comes to human life and, you know, the treatment of equality of people in the country that we're all supposed to be Americans, like that's not, you can't take the path of least resistance there. Like, at least not in my opinion. But it is better than not even taking the walk. You know what I mean? Like that's how I would describe it.
Yeah, and then there's the Tiger Woods statement, which I'm sure you're
we'll get to that. Michael Collins will join us to talk about that in a second. But coming up next, the NBA has some potential issues on the horizon. Even though it looks like we are close to ratifying an actual agreement, there are some people in the ownership group, speaking of owners, that are raising their hand and saying, wait a second. We'll tell you what that's all about in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Michael Collins, who does a phenomenal job covering golf for us here at ESPN, will join us in about 8 minutes. Make sure you stick around for that. Mark Spears of the Undefeated and NBA Insider will join us at 11:15. So, speaking of the NBA, so it looks like Thursday it will be ratified, a 22-team situation in a bubble or campus, for lack of a better term, environment at Walt Disney World in Orlando. So it looks like Thursday we could have that. We're going to have Ramon on tomorrow, so I'm sure she'll have a lot of insight as to all the different angles of the negotiation and what still needs to be, I guess, buttoned up before Thursday. So we'll have her tomorrow, and I know she'll provide a ton of insight on everything that's going on in regards to that. But there is a bit of backlash, Bergman. So the small market owners, it's always the small market owners. The small market owners are pushing back and feel like all 30 teams should be involved. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Weren't the small market owners the guys that were complaining about, well, you know, it's going to cost us money to kind of restart and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, maybe it may not be a winning effort for us financially to do it. Now, all of a sudden, now it's like, oh, wait, but you're actually leaving 8 of us out? Like, that's a real thing? Like, that's actually going to happen? And now they're bent out of shape about it. Like, I don't understand this. Like, you should be lucky it's not 16 teams, for God's sake.
Right. I mean, it's always the small market teams, but I mean, it's the bottom 8 teams, right? League wide. It's not just it's not by conference, right?
Yes, it's a conference. No, it's the bottom 4 in each conference.
Right. So, I mean, I just don't know. Like, Golden State is one of those teams, and they don't even want to play.
Right. They didn't want to play anyway.
Right. That leaves the Spurs out. I mean, they're kind of not really a small market team either. They're kind of small market, but I don't know. Like, Phoenix, Minnesota, Detroit, the Knicks, those are not small market teams.
Yeah. No, I get it. But we're talking about the Cavs. We're talking about Minnesota is a small market team. They're not a big market team. Phoenix is not a big market team. San Antonio is a small market team. Like, Atlanta is a big city, but they don't operate like a big market team. You know what I'm saying? And neither does Detroit, for that matter. When you look, I know, here's the difference. In the NBA, we talk about small market versus large market. And yes, the Detroit is a top 10 market in the country, television-wise or whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not, I think what gets confused in small market versus big market or glamour is glamour market, right? And places where guys generally want to go, right? Or places where the teams actually function right for the most part. I think that should be the distinction, right? Now, granted, San Antonio should be exempt from that because they've managed their franchise tremendously over their history. And Golden State in recent times, outside of everybody getting hurt, did just fine too recently. But some of these other teams, the Minnesota Timberwolves, I mean, come on. They've made the playoffs once in like the last 16 years. Okay, the Phoenix Suns haven't been good since Steve Nash. The Atlanta Hawks have never really fulfilled their potential by any stretch of the imagination. The Cleveland Cavaliers, outside of the LeBron years, have been a disaster. The Detroit Pistons haven't been good since Chauncey Billups left. You know what I'm saying? Like the Knicks are always the example of being a complete unmitigated disaster. So, yeah, like I don't have a problem leaving any of those teams out. Like, yeah, would I have liked to have seen San Antonio because they've been in the playoffs 23 straight seasons or whatever it is, 22 straight seasons? Yes, I would like that. But if they're left at home, so be it. Like, I don't have a big problem with this. I don't understand why anyone would have an issue with this.
No, none of these teams are like move the needle for me. And like you said, the Knicks are the largest market, small market team that there is. So, none of these teams make me think like, oh man, I'm really gonna miss not seeing D'Angelo Russell and Cap in the playoffs. I don't know. This doesn't bother me as much. And all these other teams, I mean, you actually get to see the teams that you want to see. If you're going to do something, would I like to see all 30 teams? Maybe so that everybody's playing. But really, if we're going to get an actual season and we're actually going to see good games, you want the better of the teams. Take out the bottom eight.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Right. And that's just it. And because look, it looks like that the teams want East versus East and West. They don't want 1 through 16. They want 1 through 8 and 1 through 8. And if that's the case, well, then yeah, those are the four teams that are going to get left behind in each conference. The Knicks, the Pistons, the Hawks, and the Cavs, the Spurs, the Suns, the Timberwolves, and the Warriors. And that's the end of it, you know? Because here's the thing. If you bring them back for just the play-in, like you bring them all back for the play-in, like how does, like if you're Memphis, you're 17 games ahead of the Golden State Warriors. Like, why should the Golden State Warriors get a chance at the eighth seed? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand that. Like, if you're the Orlando Magic, even, you're 11 games better than the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Atlanta Hawks. Like, why should those two teams get a chance to play for the eighth seed? Not that the Orlando Magic are by any means any great shakes, right? They're 5 games under .500, but so be it. They're still 11 games better than those crap teams we just mentioned from this past season. So they don't deserve to be in that spot.
Yeah, and like you said, that the Spurs and the Suns are really the only teams out of all of this that have much of an argument whatsoever. The Spurs are only 4 games back of the Grizzlies for that eighth seed.
Right.
Which is a pretty big distance at this point.
Right.
When you have three teams ahead of you.
You probably weren't going to be able to make up those 4 games even with the rest of the season still to be played out. Because the Spurs have played, 63 games. Look, making up 4 games in 19 games left isn't impossible, but it's not a layup, pun intended. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really isn't. Because you got to jump other teams. Memphis has to lose. And I understand that Memphis would have had their toughest part of their season coming. Like, I get all that. But it wasn't a given that they were going to still be better than the Blazers and the Pelicans or even the Kings, for that matter.
Yeah, so I'm sure Ramona will be able to answer it better tomorrow. But, I mean, are they just going to make up a whole brand new schedule for all of this? Because those bottom eight teams are supposed to play some of the higher ranked teams.
Oh, I don't know. What? I don't understand your question.
So, okay, but you're going to have regular season games, right? This is going to start having some regular season games.
The 22 teams will play the regular season games.
Right, so you have to make a whole brand new schedule between those 22 teams.
Yeah, that's easy.
Correct.
They're all going to be in the same place.
No, right. Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes it easier because, I mean, then you're going to have – so teams like the Pelicans and Blazers, that we were saying that the Grizzlies have a difficult schedule. It may not be
no,
as
I'm
difficult.
No. I'm not saying they have it now. I'm saying they – I was saying in the situation, had we been able to finish out the season traditionally, they would have had a tougher schedule, but it still wasn't a guarantee the Spurs were going to be able to come back and win.
Right, no, it wasn't. And like teams like the Pelicans, who are 3.5 games back, when they had a very easy schedule down the stretch where they probably had to play a lot of bottom four teams, they don't get that easy schedule anymore. So it's going to be a little bit more of a battle.
Right,
for that
it's going to be different anyway. Right, because you only have 8 games. Right. All right, coming up next, Tiger Woods has put out some thoughts. Obviously, people are not thrilled with some of the stuff that he said because it just felt like one big word salad. But we'll talk to Michael Collins, and we'll talk to him about the golf world. We'll talk to him about Tiger Woods and just kind of his position on all of this. And we'll actually talk about some golf, too. I promise. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And Straight Talk Wireless, where they don't play any games. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Michael Collins, friend of the program. You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN Caddy. ESPN Golf Analyst joins us now here. Michael, thank you so much, man, for taking the time. I appreciate it. And look, I'm just going to ask you about Tiger's statement, right? Because let's be real here. I saw you on First Take this morning talking about it a little bit. I would have liked to have seen you talk a little more. No disrespect to Stephen A. and Max. I felt like they were taking your time. I was like, yo, let my man speak. But for those that didn't get a chance to see Tiger's statement, he says, here's the quote. My heart goes out to George Floyd, his loved ones, and all of those who are hurting right now. I've always had the utmost respect for our law enforcement. They train so diligently to understand how, when, and where to use force. The shocking tragedy clearly crossed that line. I remember the LA riots, and I learned that education is the best path forward. We can make our points without burning the very neighborhoods we live in. I hope that through constructive, honest conversations, we could build a safer, unified society. Now, look. I'm not saying that individually there aren't points in there that make sense and that are valid. However, I feel like that just came across as one big word salad. And I think people just expect more from people in general right now, but specifically people in power and people who have power and amassed power and have wealth, because those are the people that need to make or help institute change. And Tiger, I just don't know, and you know him better than most, I just don't know if he's well-equipped to handle a situation like this. Is that fair to say?
I don't know if well-equipped is how I would put it. How I would put it was, has Tiger ever come out and said anything about social change? And just if you want to know the gravity of the situation that our country is in, I can't tell you, and I don't know anyone who can, tell you when both Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, probably the two most iconic athletes in the world, both came out and made statements. Now, Jordan's statement was much more poignant than what Tiger's was. Tiger also comes from a sport where their bylaws had no African-American golfers written into them. Literally, it was written into the bylaws that there won't be black golfers on the PGA Tour. And that was as recent as the 40s and 50s. You know, I don't think that changed until the 60s. So to think that Tiger isn't schooled in coming from a place and playing in a sport that is dominated by rich, older white men and run by those same people would be irresponsible. That being said, it is easy to look at what Tiger put out as a statement and say, that's it? Really? That's all you're going to put out? But in talking to another golfer, one of the other African-American golfers on the PGA Tour, Harold Varner III, he said, you know, the conversation also needs to be had about I don't want to say this the wrong way because it comes across as maybe insensitive towards other things that are going on. But he said the conversation also needs to be had about the pressure on young African American athletes making statements during this time. And the conversation that we started to have but didn't get to finish because I had to go on the first take was, how do you in your heart put out a statement telling people that peace is the right way when in your heart you don't feel that way? How do you, if you're a rookie in a major sport, come out and say, if you just came from the hood and you or some of your friends have had not pleasant experiences with the police, how do you come out and say in an honest tone in a time like this, hey, everyone, let's keep calm heads, when you don't feel that way? And that's why on First Take, I even said, you know, people have been asking why I haven't commented. And it's because I don't have a constructive comment that I'm comfortable making, because there is a part of my heart, not all of it, but there's a part of my heart that is mad and angry and wants to lash out and is tired of hearing, as we hear all the time, well, now's the time to sit down and talk. No, that we had that time before. Like, how many times am I going to allow people to keep saying that to quell me? Like, how many African-American men have to get killed? It's like the boy who cried wolf. And in the original story, the boy gets killed and eaten by the wolf for a reason, because you keep crying wolf. Well, we're in a situation where everyone keeps saying we need order. We need order to get back so we can talk. Well, why weren't we talking before? This is not a new situation. So to expect Tiger Woods to come out and say something different than what he said, you're asking someone who is in a sport and is one of the biggest known icons in the world, who has gone and had as a kid racial incidents happen to him and be denied the opportunity to play at places because of the color of his skin. You're asking him now to say more than what he said. When if Tiger came out and said, no justice, no peace, well, how would that be taken? If Tiger came out and said, you know, we all have Second Amendment rights, and almost mirrored what our leader said, what kind of message would that send? And is that the true road to getting where we want to go? It's so hard, knowing in your heart that people like Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi did so much peacefully and accomplished so much peacefully. And it, when you're in the middle of it, the scale of thinking that's what gets the most accomplished, how many times do you have to turn the other cheek until you get tired of turning the other cheek and people say, oh, I hear you. Oh, now you hear me? You didn't hear me before, but now because of this, you hear me. And now that you say you hear me, now you want to calm everything down and be peaceful and let's do the right thing. And oh, yeah, the people that are being peaceful, they're getting tear gas shot at them and rubber bullets. We got number two saying we respect peaceful protest. And then number one, having tear gas and rubber bullets fired at those peaceful protesters. So what's the right message for someone like Tiger Woods, for anyone who's a prominent athlete, for anyone who has gone through racial injustice or felt the sting of having to watch and the broken heart of having to watch black men get murdered? Now that, you know, we have technology that we see it happen, and people, we want charges filed. But that happens before. And then what happens if the people that are accused of this and have been seen doing things like this, what happens when they get acquitted? Now, again, is it time for more talk to do the right thing? So to expect Tiger Woods to put out more than what he put out, I don't think is realistic. And I don't necessarily think it's fair on Tiger. Not to say it was right or it was wrong. I don't know if it was right or if it was wrong. I honestly don't know. And I don't know what the right answer is, which is why it's so difficult right now, because there's a part of all of us that want to lash out. And to think that that's wrong is also wrong. It's natural to feel like you're not being heard. You want to do something.
Michael Collins with us here, ESPN golf analyst, and we were just discussing Tiger Woods' statement. But look, I said this yesterday, and the reality is this. I tried to explain it this way. If you don't understand why the protests are happening, right? Let's just make it very basic here, right? Or even the looting, right? And the rioting. My response to that is, think about how desperate one must be to do that. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, think about the levels of desperation.
Here's the thing, though. I come from a place in, or not come from a place. I mean, I work in a sport and have been involved in a sport with plenty of people that don't understand it. And I had to explain to them when we had the conversation of, you know, why would they do that? And I said, listen, if you don't feel like you as a human being are valued, why in the hell would you value a building
right,
or anything in it? That doesn't make any, I know it doesn't make sense to you, but you feel value as a human being. And imagine if you didn't have that, then why would you value anything of substance that you see outside of, when you don't feel value as a human yourself? That's why this is happening.
Let me ask you one more.
Also, there are plenty of people that I spoke to, people that I call friends, that even when they see things like this, it is hard for them to fathom that there was no fault at all on the other side. But if you've never experienced that whatsoever, how do you explain that to someone? How do you explain to someone who's never felt fear of being pulled over by a policeman? How do you explain what that feels like? Not because you've done anything wrong, or if you had ran a stop sign, or, you know, we're going 65 in a 55. But you can't explain that kind of fear to people who have never felt it before. And the frustration of knowing that, then it is very easy to turn that into, I want you to feel my fear. And that's a dangerous thing, too.
No, you're 100% right. But I think that from, you know, the phrase gets thrown around that that this can make people uncomfortable who are not familiar with it. And I would say good, because that's where growth comes from. You know what I'm saying? Like, I equated it, Michael, to, and I got to run here in a second, but I want to ask you one golf question. I equated it to this. When I was a kid growing up trying to learn to play baseball, my dad purposely would throw high heat at me, and I would get frustrated and be like, why are you doing that? And he'd be like, if you can't learn to not fear the ball and adjust, then you're never going to be able to play the game. You know what I mean? Mm. And in the game of life, you're always going to have high heat thrown at you. And what people do is they step out of the batter's box as opposed to trying to adjust and hit the ball. And
I got to tell you, there's one thing that bothers me. I got to get this in because I didn't get to say it before. I'm not ever going to say there's good cops. I'm going to tell people I know a lot of good people that put the uniform on. But when people say, I know a lot of good cops, I don't think you do. I know a lot of people that put on the uniform, and so do you. But here's the thing. If you put that uniform on, and in every precinct, in every police station, there are bad cops. And guess what? It's a small fraternity. All cops know who the good cops and bad cops are. But if you're one of those people that put on that uniform and you know who the bad cops are and you don't do anything about it, then you're not a good cop. It doesn't make you a bad person. So there are plenty of people that put on the uniform that are wonderful people, but they're not good cops because they know who the bad cops are and they don't say anything or do anything.
Well, to that point, what I would say is what I said to begin the show, which is don't let other people write your narrative. You know what I mean? And that we use that with athletes all the time. And it can be applied to any walk of life, including the police force. I don't think there's any doubt. Mm. Michael, before I let you go, because I've got a minute, what should we expect golf to look like when it returns?
Man, good question. Next Monday is when everyone gets to Fort Worth to get ready for the tournament. And from everyone I've talked to, there is excitement and crazy apprehension right now because no one knows for sure how this is going to work. So I think this first week, everyone's going to look at this with curiosity, and tensions are going to be high. And I expect that there are going to be some serious confrontations that happen. And that's from a caddy who's on their way there.
Wow.
Not me, but another caddy who's I'm not attending, but from another caddy who will be at the event working.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that, man. Thanks for that update as well. And thank you, brother, for the time. I know that, you know, everyone's going through some stuff. You've got stuff going on. I appreciate you just in general, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes to hang out with us.
I love you too, bro, and it's cool. I'm actually standing next to my mom right now, so she thinks it's cool that she gets to watch me on TV and hear me do radio interviews. So that's always a bright sun spot.
Okay. Well, tell mom we say what's up and stay safe and stay healthy, okay?
You got it, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. Take care. There he is, Michael Collins, ESPN golf analyst. Real quick, before we go to break, because coming up on the other side, I want to kind of expand on my thoughts in general on where we are and how ownership in sports needs to take real accountability here. We're going to do that in a second. We're going to stick to that. We're going to get to that here in a second. Plus, we're going to let you know what the latest is on Major League Baseball. And it looks like that thing may be getting closer than you think. So we'll get to all that coming up in a second.